In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Christos
Christi.
Christos
Christi.
Christos Christi.
There are few encounters in the gospel as intimate, as searching, and as transformative as Christ meeting with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. On this fifth Sunday of Pascha, St. John's gospel today tells us that she comes to the well at the sixth hour, noon, alone, burdened with a past that she cannot hide. Christ meets her not by accident, but with divine intention. He asks her for water, yet, as the fathers insist, he is the one that is truly thirsty. Christ's thirst is not for water, but for her faith, her heart. In her, St. Augustine says, we see ourselves, a soul estranged, yet being slowly drawn into the truth. The conversation also unfolds slowly. She moves from misunderstanding to curiosity to conviction. St. John Chrysostom highlights this transformation. She does not resist correction, nor does she flee when her sins are exposed. Then those unexpected words from Christ fall from his lips. Give me a drink. The one through whom all things exist stands before a creature in thirst. The eternal asks something of the finite. God approaches as a beggar. He comes through invitation rather than compulsion, waiting to be received. And the gospel records one small gesture that reveals everything. The Samaritan woman leaves her water jar behind. The object that once defined her daily search for water suddenly becomes irrelevant. Having encountered the living source, her former thirst falls away. She runs back toward the village, seeing that the field was ripe for harvest, and begins evangelizing her townspeople. As we hear in the gospel today, I who speak to you am he. I am he, Christ tells her. And she speaks a few simple words, the same words that Philip says to Nathanael earlier in St. John's gospel. Come and see. Come and see, she says, can this be the Christ? Chrysostom remarks further that in this moment, she becomes an apostle and an evangelist at this moment. The gospel tells us that she brought many of her townspeople to Christ, Samaritans. Holy tradition tells us that she never stopped. According to early Christian memory that has been preserved in the Orthodox Church, the Samaritan woman was baptized and given the name Photines, the Enlightened One. A name that reflects both her encounter with Christ and her mission to bring this light of Christ, to others. She became a preacher of the gospel, traveling and proclaiming Christ with boldness. Later accounts of her missionary work in regions such as Carthage and Rome, and she's often alongside her two sons, her sisters, and her companions. And this development is not foreign to the gospel itself. The woman who once came in shame becomes one who speaks boldly, publicly, and fearlessly. Holy tradition also records her martyrdom, placing it during the reign of Emperor Nero, during one of the first great persecutions of the church. Saint Photinine, together with her sons Victor and Joseph, her sisters and other companions, were brought before the emperor, and they were commanded to renounce Christ. She refuses. I believe in Christ, the Son of God who came in the world to save sinners, she tells the emperor. Threatened with torture, she answers with calm defiance, do what you will, I fear not your torments. What follows is a familiar pattern in early martyrdom narratives, the same narratives that continue to this day, but are no less striking. Brutal tortures met with endurance, faith, and hope. According to the account of her martyrdom, the emperor's guards scourged them, crushed their fingers and joints, and burned them in fire, but they remained unharmed, strengthened by the grace of Christ. Even more remarkable is what happens next. According to the tradition, Nero's own daughter, Domnina, witnessing the courage of the Samaritan woman and those with her, came to believe in Christ and was baptized, along with many other members of the imperial household. The persecuted became the evangelizers, and the persecutors became Christians. Fotini and her companions were cast into prison, deprived of food, and subjected to continued suffering. Yet the tradition emphasizes not despair, but divine consolation. Christ appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you," and strengthened them. This detail echoes countless martyrdom accounts. The suffering of the saints is never merely endured. It is sustained by the presence of Christ himself. The most powerful and symbolic element of her martyrdom comes at the very end. The emperor, enraged by her steadfastness and her influence, ordered that the holy Fotini be thrown into a dry well. There, the woman who once met Christ at Jacob's well meets him again, this time in death. She who once received living water at a well now descends into a well for Christ and receives the crown of martyrdom. She comes to the well thirsty. She leaves with living water. She returns to the world as one who gives it. And finally, she pours out her life completely. What began as a private conversation became a public witness. What began in sin ends in sanctity. And what began with a request for water ended in the shedding of blood. She is remembered fittingly as Fotini, the Enlightenment, because she not only received the light, but carried it into the darkness, even unto death. In the catacombs where the first Christians worshipped, the church, just like it does today, adorned the walls with holy icons, with holy images. In those early catacombs, we see icons of Christ the Good Shepherd, Christ healing the paralytic, and the myrrh-bearing women. We see images of Jonah, Daniel unharmed among lions, Noah after the flood, the three young Hebrews saved from the furnace, and one of the most prominent images in all of those ancient catacombs was Christ and the Samaritan woman, Saint Fotini, the martyr. These Christians painted these icons because they addressed the tomb directly. They did not deny death. They surrounded death with images of rescue and of Christ's victory over death. During the great entrance of the divine liturgy, the priest carries the gifts covered and concealed out of the altar, an image of Christ's entry into creation, of his image, of his entry into Jerusalem, of his entry into the tomb, of his entry into our lives. And after the hierarchs, the civil authorities, the living and the departed, are commemorated, the priest places the gifts on top of an icon of Christ in the tomb. And as the priest begins to uncover the gifts, he prays the hymn of Holy Saturday and concludes with the beautiful lines, "Bearing life more fruitful than paradise, brighter than any royal chamber, thy tomb, O Christ, is the fountain of our resurrection." Here we see not only the essence of the gospel through poetry and beauty, "Thy tomb, O Christ, is the fountain of our resurrection," but we see that the liturgy is a participation in and an encounter with the same Christ who stands face to face with the Samaritan woman today. The same Christ who plunges deep into the abyss of her soul and ours. The same Christ who breaks down the gates of the Hades of her sin and her shame and ours. And he extinguishes those flames with his living water, so that like Fotini, we too can begin to see the world with the light of Christ, to call brothers even those who hate us, and to forgive all by the resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Almighty God, our Father, we pray thee, hearken our mercy.